Well, there are no prizes for guessing the text this evening. It's verse 16, Ephesians 5 and verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Let us look to the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this verse of scripture. Some of us have heard it for many a year. But, O Lord, may the familiarity of it not cause us to be struck by it. May the teaching of it grip our hearts, and the Lord, may we realize the importance of redeeming the time. For it's in Christ's name we'd ask it. Amen. By way of introduction, I feel I must review this morning's message just for a few moments. I'm not going to preach it all again. But I think it is important to review what we said this morning. We spoke in that great text where our Savior said, my heart is troubled, overwhelmed. He's just pressured. Why? Because he was thinking of the cross. And there in John 12, 28, what in just a few short hours he would suffer when the sins were laid upon him and the wrath of God and the justice of God would fall upon him, and he who knew no sin would be counted as a sinner and die in our place. And the awful horror of what he would suffer, not the physical death, he didn't draw back from that, but it was the fact of the unique death that he would die. And yet he prayed in those moments, Father, glorify thy name. And we said this morning that the important truth for us as we commence this year is to get our eyes on Christ. Oh yes, there are practical teachings in God's word of how we are to glorify him. But most importantly, we need to see Christ first. Otherwise, the danger is that we become, as is common today in many, especially health and wealth places, they'll just tell people, look, follow this principle or that principle and do this and do that. And in the end of the day, people are striving in the energy of their own efforts, their own willpower, their own determination. And yes, they're able to change their life outwardly. Yes, they're able to follow principles. Talking to someone this week, actually, a bit about Alcoholics Anonymous. I mean, people go to Alcoholics Anonymous, and we must confess, a little I know about them, there are some people who are helped to get off the alcohol, and that's a good thing, but it doesn't make them Christian. I had a good friend in the mission work. He had been helped with AA, but it was only after that he came to know Christ as Savior. What I'm saying is there's a danger when we just preach duty, do this, and leave out Christ. It's not the gospel. Anything we're told to do and how to live, it's based on the fact that we're in Christ. It's based on the fact that he is there with us. Otherwise, preaching just becomes morality. It just becomes morality. It just becomes something you would hear, I'm told, in some training session for business leaders. While that's beneficial in walks of life and so on. It's not the gospel. Everything we teach has to be based on Christ. He is to be the foundation and the motivation for everything. And that's brought out in the book of Ephesians. Remember some years ago, we went through the first two chapters. And Paul writes to these, most of them former slaves. Ah, listen, you were chosen before the foundation of the world. God set his love upon you. And the Lord has adopted you into his family. Remember we talked about that? Not adoption as we think today, but when Romans, they were adopted when they were growing up. What it meant was that individual, women could never be adopted. Girls were out of it. Sorry, ladies. Remember we talked about that? In Roman culture, it was only men, boys. And what it was, a rich man would declare by a ceremony, this son is now my legal heir entitled to all my riches. Remember we told the illustration, and I didn't know much about it, Ben-Hur, a famous novel. And the plot of that novel is a man, a Jewish man. And he was a prince, but he becomes a slave in the slave ship. And when the ship's going down, the novel is that he rescued a rich senator. And the senator said, I'll free you. Your crimes of being a Jew and against the state, they're blotted out. And you'll now take my name. And he took the name of this rich senator. And the senator brought him back to Rome and declared, you're no longer Judah. You are now, and he gave him his name, I just forget the name of the Roman senator, and he now became the heir of all. Of course, later on he went back and fought for the Jews, that's the story, but it's only a novel. But I'm using it as an illustration. And Paul says to these Christians, you are an heir of God. Mike, can you imagine those Roman slaves? They would have been amazed. But what about my past? Ah, you're forgiven. What about that debt I owe? You're redeemed. Oh, so wonderful. Your position, your inheritance. And it's blessing after blessing after blessing. And in the first chapters, he's talking about our great position in Christ. He talks in chapter 2 how we were condemned. We were dead in trespasses and sins. But you see, God, by his grace, has saved us. We're born again. We're his children. We're citizens of heaven. Now, therefore, here's how you ought to behave. Here's how you ought to behave. What's the motivation? Because of who we are in Christ. Because of who we are in Christ. Because if you've received all those blessings, and the more you understand of what you have in Christ, and who you are in Christ, and what it cost Christ to save you, and the more we understand how he suffered, there has to be a response within our lives. Father, glorify thy name in my life. I want to live more and more. More and more we will mourn over the sins that grieve our Heavenly Father. And that's the context of our text. That's the context. In other words, Paul is not saying you have to go out and do these things in your own strength. We know we can't. Now, there's still a responsibility. I'm not saying that absolves us of all responsibility. Of course we're not. But we're saying it has to come from it. Has to come from that idea. And this verse, in verse 16, redeeming the time. It's two believers. Did you notice when I read it? It's two believers. You see, in verse 1, it's those who are followers of God as dear children. It's the Christians. I know we can apply it in the gospel. And we can say to those who are not saved, look, you'd better take your opportunity. For today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, now. Now is the day of salvation. So we can't apply it to those that are not saved. But that's not the primary teaching of the verse. It's to believers, Christians, because we're saved and we're children of God. Now we do apply it to the unsaved. I was thinking of this verse, of an incident a number of years ago, not in this part of the country, but I remember going out to visit a married couple. They had a couple of children. They were in bed. We'd arranged to go out and visit them. They were coming to the church for quite a while. We'd arranged to visit, and we talked generally for a while. And I remember saying, well, I'd like to read and pray with you. And I read a passage, and then I just said, are you both trusting Christ? And the lady said a very unusual thing. She said, Mr. Johnson, since you arranged this visit, I've been living with a terrible fear of you coming. I thought, oh dear, I'm not too popular. Is it me? Have I got a problem? No, no. She went on to say, I have had an awful fear about this visit because I have been so afraid that you will come and visit us and go away again and I'll still be unsaved and not get saved. Isn't that amazing? I said, what? I'm afraid that you'll leave tonight and I don't get saved. Her husband looked over at her in shock. Oh, I've been thinking of getting saved too. And with the joy of simply opening the Bible and showing them. Well, that lady was redeeming the time. Although she's unsaved. That's a good illustration of what it means to redeem the time. It means to grab the opportunity. To grab the opportunity. You see, redeem is a New Year sales day. Now, hope no one here was got shopping sales. But we talk about the New Year sales. And redeem is the word. It describes what happens. I think there were Boxing Day sales too. And when you see people running to the sales, I didn't, by the way, because I wanted my life. I think if you get in some of these bargains and you could get trampled in the rush. So I just, for safety, I stay away. Don't want a crowd of ladies just, but anyway, you know what I mean? Everybody, right, I gotta take it, it'll all be gone. I remember as a boy, a friend of our family, Stanley Gilmore, Gilmore's electrical shop in the Lisburn Road. Yes, some of you remember that? Stanley was a member, knew my father well. involved in God's work, gracious man. And they used to go a day or two before and camp on the Lisburn Road and sleep out after Christmas to get the TV or whatever it was, electrical appliance at a knockdown price. What were they trying to do? To redeem the time. They didn't want to miss it. And we do say to the unsaved, don't miss salvation. Don't put it off to tomorrow. Don't put it off to tomorrow. But it's written to those in Christ. And I'm saying that the more we know of him, the more we will want to redeem the time. Now, it's a command. I want you to notice that. It's not a suggestion. Paul isn't saying, now, here's some good advice. You ought to redeem the time. I suggest you do this. It's a command. Now, you see that word redeeming? The time. The time. There are two words used in the New Testament for time. One is chronos or chronological. Chronology. Do you know a watch, when it first came out, was known as a chronometer? Far easier to call it a watch, isn't it? Chronos or chronology, it simply means seconds, minutes, time in that sense. But there's another word that's sometimes translated time. And it's the other word that's used here. Do you remember over in Galatians 6 and 10, Paul wrote this, I'll quote it to you, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to them of the household of faith. Opportunity. Same word. There the translators in Galatians 6:10 chose to use opportunity. Here they've chosen to use time. No problem with that, it's the same word. Opportunity. Opportunity, of course, at a specific chronos, if you like, a specific time. But that helps us with the understanding. Redeeming the time of opportunity. That's the idea. That in that minute, seconds, hours, whatever day, there's a special opportunity. That's the meaning of the term. Just very briefly, it's a provided opportunity. God gives us opportunities. Especially as we're Christian, God gives us opportunity. Time is given by God. It's God that gives us our breath, our heartbeat. Ah, but in the Christian life, God gives us opportunity to serve him. There are opportunities. And we must buy those opportunities. In other words, take them. Just as somebody to the sale sees that item and is so reduced, I have to get it. Paul is saying, Christian, live your life that when God provides you with an opportunity, take it. Take it. Use it. Because God in his grace and his mercy has provided it for you. And there's an amazing thing here. Because, here's why. Because the days are pornographic. Now you say it doesn't say that in your Bible. Well, it does actually. See that in verse 16. See the word evil. There are different words used in the Greek for evil. Do you know what the word there is actually? Pornos, pornographic. That's the word we've heard that term used. That's the word for evil. There are other words for evil. But the Holy Spirit chose to use that word. And as that term, without us going into things we don't need to go into, for earlier in the chapter Paul said there are things that ought not to be even named among us as believers. Shouldn't even talk about them. But all I need to say is, we know that we're living in an age that can be described as pornographic, as immoral, in its advertising, in its magazines, in its programs, in its videos or movies, television, etc., etc. We don't have to go and sample it to know that in this world it's a pornographic age, and that's the word the Holy Spirit uses. And in those days of such evil, you see, there are some ages that are more evil than others. There are some, of course we live in this present evil world, yes we know, but there are some days when it's more evil. And are we not living in a very evil age? And it behoves us to take every opportunity. It's a provided opportunity. It's provided now. Somebody said yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, today is a gift. Maybe that's why they call it the present. All we have is today, and all we have is the present opportunity. We don't know if we've got tomorrow. So when God gives us a time, an opportunity, we must be stewards of that. For the opportunity is a gift. Yes, even our very time in the sense of seconds and hours is a gift. We've had a gift of God today. We're trusting God will give us another gift tomorrow, but none of us know. But the idea here is he gives us an opportunity. Don't miss it. But let me emphasize, just slightly different, it's a present opportunity. It's now. It's right now. The opportunity is redeeming the time, and the idea is you have to do it now. God has provided it for us, but it's present. You have to do it now. Today. Today. Of course, that's in the gospel too. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Do you know there are two days that will rob us from redeeming the opportunity that God gives, provides to us? Two days. Two particular days. Two specific days that will rob you. Remember, the redeem is the idea of buying. Money comes from the money situation. And there are two days will rob you of redeeming God's opportunity has provided you with. You know what one of them is? Yesterday. Yesterday can rob you of today's opportunity. Remember Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, pressing toward the mark. Do you know, even some Christians can be so taken up with their past failure and their past sins that Satan can come and condemn them, because Satan is an accuser of the brethren. And he'll tell us, what's the point of you trying to do anything for God? What's the point of you trying to witness? What's the point of you trying to take an opportunity that God provides? Because sure, you're useless. You don't have great gifts. And look at how you sinned. Look at how you failed last year. Look at those sinful thoughts, those sinful acts, those sinful things. You can do nothing, and Satan will lay it on. And of course, a lot of it's true. And so we get so taken up with the past. Now, my advice is not what some would say, just forget about the past as such. No, get the past under the blood of Christ. Realize that when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You see, the Holy Spirit only convicts us of unforgiven, unconfessed sins. And so we can be free of past guilt when we confess our sins. Ah, but even the past glory. Paul was a great missionary, great triumphs. But Paul didn't live in past victories. He didn't say, oh, I did a great work for God last year, or 10 years ago, oh my, I had a great victory. Today. What about the opportunity today? What about past grief, the sorrows of the past? And I know sorrow is a difficult thing to deal with, and yet some never get over the grief. Of course we sorrow at the departure of loved ones, or different things have happened. That's natural, that's right as a Christian. But you have to get on with life now. We have to take the opportunity today. Past grudges, Paul and many people did terrible things to him. All those in Asia turned against him. But he put that behind him. Yesterday, forget about yesterday in a spiritual sense. Take the opportunity now. What about, you know, the other day that sometimes robs us of this present opportunity? Tomorrow. Remember the Lord said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. He told us not to worry. We're not to worry about things. But yet we can get so taken up with worry. What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen? Of course, some people go slightly different. They say, oh, I'll serve God tomorrow. I'll serve God when I have a better opportunity. No, God's provided an opportunity now, today. And it's present. If you don't take it, it'll be gone. Either waiting for tomorrow to do something for God, because in that sense, if you do that, tomorrow never comes. Or worrying about tomorrow to such an extent we don't get on to life now. It is a present opportunity. A present opportunity to live for God. But when I look at that word again, look at it in verse 16. It's provided by God an opportunity, redeeming the time, the opportunity. It's provided. It's present. It's now. Because if you don't take it now, you'll miss it. But you have to think of how precious it is. How precious. Again, the idea is the shop. You hear there's an item, and oh, you've wanted it. I wish I had that item. And you know, it's reduced 80%. Oh, I gotta get it. I gotta get down there quick when the place opens, because there are only three of them in the shop. I want to be one of the first three. I gotta get there. Can you see the person rushing down, setting the alarm clock? Get up in the morning. I have to be there to get that bargain. I have to redeem it. I have an opportunity. And you're willing to pay for it. You see, an opportunity here, redeeming the times, the idea of redeeming, it's something precious. It's something you want to have. You want to have. You know, time is precious. Queen Elizabeth I, it's reputed to have said as she lay on her deathbed, "My kingdom for a moment of time. I'll give my kingdom for a moment more of time." An opportunity. No wonder the Bible goes on to say here, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is." Now, the famous missionary Elizabeth Elliot, written a lot of books, she said this once, "There's always enough time to do the will of God." Isn't that powerful? When we think of 2017, and I know we can get so busy and so hassled and so worn out, she wrote, "There's always time to do the will of God." And therefore a believer should never say, "I don't have time." Remember this morning we talked about Christ. He always did those things that pleased the Father. In other words, when we realize how precious the opportunity is, we prioritize the importance. We prioritize what is important. In other words, we have to get before God as a Christian and say, "Lord, what is it you would have me to do? What are those important things, the work thou givest me to do?" You see, there were many villages wanted Christ to come. But he only went to certain villages, and at times he withdrew to be alone with the Lord. He knew what the will of God was at that time. It's interesting, in John 11, they came and they told the Savior, "Lazarus is sick." Did the Savior immediately go? No, he waited. He said later, "This sickness is for the glory of God." But why did he not go immediately? Because he was under direct orders of the Father. What I'm trying to say is this, there's always time to do God's will, but the part of the wisdom is knowing what to do, knowing the opportunity, recognizing the opportunity, and recognizing how precious it is. Somebody wrote a book once, I quoted to the students at the beginning of each year in the college, "The Tyranny of the Urgent." Now I know this, what I'm about to say now, I believe is taught in some business courses and so on, but we're thinking of it spiritually, but it's still a true. That you can be so busy doing urgent things, you never come to the important things. And so we tell the students when they start Whitfield, get your priorities. Get your schedule. Plan your work and work your plan. Now, I don't want to just be a business person tonight, but I believe these things are practical as a Christian. And I always tell them, in some of the important things, if you're married, your wife, your children, your family duties, your church duties, see, we can get so, "Oh, I've got to do this, I've got to..." You can be so taken up with urgent things, you just suddenly waking up one day, "I've missed what's important. I've missed what's important." And so when we realize how precious our life is, how precious the days we have, how precious the hours, how precious opportunities God gives us, oh, it's good to get before God and say, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" There's a well-known story, I'm sure I must have told this, I can't remember when, but I'd be surprised if I haven't told this before. There's a well-known story it wasn't a Christian doing, it was a professor of this time management and so on, and he got a big glass, and he got his students at the college, says, "Watch this," and he got big rocks, put them in. "Is the jar full?" Couldn't get another big stone in. "Yes." "No, it's not. Watch." And then he took smaller pebbles and they went in. "Is the jar now full?" "Yes." But hesitant this time. "No, it's not." And he went and got fine grains of sand and that began to fill. "Is it full now?" And the student says, "Oh yes, it's definitely full now. Are you sure?" And then he put some water into it. Then he said, "What's the lesson? What's the lesson?" You know what some of them said? "Well, no matter how busy you are, you can always find time to do something else." No. You know what the lesson was? The big rocks are the important things in life. And if you don't put them in first, you'll not get them in later. If you fill it with the sand and the grass, you'll not get... Oh, I'm not here to give you time management. There are good courses in that, I'm sure. But listen, it's not true in the spiritual life. It's not true in the spiritual life. Oh, redeeming the time means to me tonight, as a Christian, I'm speaking to myself, I have to before God, and you as a Christian have to get before God, what are the most important priorities in my life for 2017? Lord, you show me, not what others want me to do, not what others pressure me to do, but Lord, what are the important issues and opportunities that I have in the coming days? Lord, I want to put those first in my life. Of course, if you're not saved, the most important one is to be saved. Another important one is Christians. I hardly need to go through them. To supplicate before the throne, to give prayer its place in our lives. See, if you don't make time, you'll not do it. If you don't prioritize, see the importance of it. Yes, our church attendance, fellowshipping with the people of God. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. We could go on seeking to win others, serving the Lord. What is our priority? And of course, we need to be filled with the Spirit. Doesn't it say that later? To be filled with the Spirit. We need the Spirit of God to guide us. But one last thought. Yes, God provides us with opportunities. That's why we need to use them. Buy them, redeem them. Buy them back. It's a present opportunity. Precious opportunity. Redeem the time means this. It's a passing opportunity. It's passing. Well, not always of the opportunity. If we don't take it, it's gone. It's gone. Have you ever wanted something in a shop? You've heard such a shop is selling it and you rush down. No, sorry, we're sold out. It's gone. It's gone. More importantly than that, the year's gone. Last year, did we buy back the opportunities God gave us to witness for Him, to serve Him, to pray, to read His Word? I could go on listing. It's not up to me to tell you. The Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit, when we're controlled by the Spirit of God, He will show us. He'll show us where we failed. But you see, the opportunity is passing. It doesn't stay. That's why you have to redeem it now. That's the importance. There's the poem. Some of you may have learnt it in Sunday school times. When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I dreamed and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. When older still I daily grew, time flew. Soon I shall find in travelling on, time is gone. You see, tomorrow's the fool's calendar. Tomorrow's the fool's calendar. Redeem the time. We have to do it now. Whatever we have to do for God, we're to do it now. As I said, get before Him. Lord, what will you have me to do? I'm sure you know it well. Maybe you haven't if you've been gone to Martyrs Memorial. If you look away up at the front of the martyrs, on the clock, it says, time is short. Paul wrote that in another verse. Time is short. It is. It's passing. It's passing. Some of us can't believe. I know there's younger ones here tonight, but when you get to my age, you wonder where the years went. It seems you were a child and then got married and going to nearly tell you many years there, but it just disappeared. You wonder where those decades went. They've gone, and I'm sure others would say the same. Time passes. And how often, there's so many expressions. I'm going to stop here. So much more we could say about the expressions of time. Time is a funny thing, isn't it? We don't want to lose it, but we waste it. And you can't bring it back. You can put money in a bank. You can't put time in a bank. It's gone. And many times do you hear people ask, what's the time? Or many times do you hear people say, I don't have the time. Oh, but it's more sorrowing when you hear somebody, oh, if only I had the time. But the Lord Jesus Christ had time for everything His Father had for Him to do. And when He came to the end of His life, He said, Father, I have finished the work Thou givest me to do. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect example of how to redeem the time, because He lived His life in obedience to His Father. We redeem the time when we live our lives in obedience to the Lord. May God help us to do that.